So did you hear about the young man who was flying home from a friend's funeral, and when he wouldn't pull his pants up, he was pulled off the plane and arrested? Should there be a dress code for flying?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I want to get you thinking today. And I want to get your reaction, your interaction, your thoughts on morality, on dress, on what's right and wrong in public. And I think we're going to have an interesting discussion that's going to go in some interesting places. And then some news items that you've got to hear about. And an excerpt from a book I started reading last night that, oh, it's one of these things you need to hear. It's eye-opening. It's shocking. And you'll probably hear it first right here on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you this day after Father's Day. 866-34-TRUTH. The number to call, 866-348-7884. To interact online, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire or on Facebook, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown. Also, we've got something very special we'll be offering to all of you, our listeners, this week. So by all means, stay tuned. Okay, before I get into the main story, I want to get your input and feedback on. How about this? This is CBS News, cbsnews.com, and in honor of Father's Day yesterday, they ran this story about dads. It's a special story. Father's Day is an American tradition more than a century old, and it's being embraced by some untraditional fathers, adoptive fathers, and life partners, Mark Bromley and David Saley. Can tell us all about that. The story, Two Dads, Top 10 Things Learned from Their Child. Two men raising a daughter, being celebrated on Father's Day by CBS News. David Saley is the brother of one of their contributors, Faith Saley. Apparently that's how the story got in here. But isn't that amazing? Oh, celebrating the story of two dads, and this is what Father's Day is about. They may be loving men, they may really love their daughter, but God did not intend for that daughter to be raised by two men, nor was the institution of Father's Day set up for cases like this. All of you in New York, keep praying. Our friend Bishop Joe Matera had a press conference, would have started an hour ago in the halls of Congress of New York State, with David Tyree, the New York Giants player famous for his miracle catch, what's called the miracle catch, greatest catch in Super Bowl history. He's come out saying what God intended, what's right, is marriage between a man and a woman. And he's getting blasted in certain circles, and even sports circles. How dare he say that? So keep praying for righteousness to triumph, for truth to triumph. Okay, just enough time to introduce the story before we go further. So, Joey, I'm going to play the first part of this clip now about this young man at an airport. Go ahead, play it.
Them wearing their pants saggy, it's a trend.
And Donna Doyle says she can't believe a trend has landed her son, Deshaun Marmon, in a San Mateo County jail for refusing to pull up his sagging pants.
Officer came and asked him for his ticket, his boarding pass, and he asked him why. And he says, I just need your boarding pass. He says, why? What did I do? I haven't done anything.
U.S. Airways flight crew felt otherwise. A ticket taker and a stewardess asked Marmon to pull up his sagging pajama bottoms as he was walking to board the plane.
And he told her that I'll pull it up as soon as I can get my hands free.
His mother says he kept walking. She also says her son told her he sat down and pulled up his pants. By then, the crew was taking action because they felt he wasn't following orders. The pilot ordered all passengers off the plane, and Marmon was taken into custody for trespassing, battery, and resisting arrest.
He's a big, tall, light-skinned black boy with dreadlocks. Gets on the plane with saggy pants. Right there, your stereotype.
All right. We'll talk about it. Was this the right thing to do? Is this morality, or is this policing going crazy?
Change the world. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
During the break, I was looking over at our Line of Fire blog, some interaction with my friend Rabbi Yisrael Blumenthal and others discussing issues relative to Jesus being the Messiah. Fascinating discussion. It's good to learn from, to look at, and to interact on as well. That's askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. The shows on Dr. Brown Answers the Rabbis have generated hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of posts in just a few short weeks with a lot of very high-level discussion going on. So dive in, get involved, especially if you want to share the gospel with Jewish people who don't believe and learn why they don't believe and interact further. To get in the discussion on the air today, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Now, you may say, why in the world bring up this story at the airport? Okay, so you got this college kid who's a football player. He's wearing the saggy pants, which in some parts of our culture is common, where pants are worn completely exposing the boxer short underwear, and people walk around like that. And it's you know, if you know the origins of it, of course, as I understand it, it comes out of prison culture and telling someone that you're available and so on. And anyway, put that aside. People do it because it's the thing to do. It's the fashion. In some states, police have cracked down and said you got to pull your pants up. The reason I raise this story is to ask what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. Did U.S. Airways, which is the airline I fly the most because I live in Charlotte now, was U.S. Airways right in removing this passenger? Now, obviously, if he just pulled his pants up right off the bat and covered his underwear, then he wouldn't have been removed. The fact that he didn't comply, that's the biggest issue. When you have a passenger in non-compliance, whether it's fastening a seatbelt or turning off a cell phone, whatever, that's the bigger issue, non-compliance. But were they right to even tell him to pull his pants up? If so, how about some lady in some really scantily clad outfit? Is it right to tell her she can't fly? She's going to have to cover up. She's got too much exposed. You can see her undergarments exposed, you know, see through something. How far does it go? So just curious to get your feedback on that. 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. How much can we say, establish in terms of public morality, public dress? How far can we go in terms of enforcing what people should wear, not wear, as long as they're not naked? Is that acceptable? Could someone fly wearing a bathing suit? Where is the line drawn? I imagine there are certain things on the books. I've never seen someone flying in a bathing suit, so I imagine there are rules against it. But how far does this go? Was it racial profiling? Now here's the other thing. The kid had come back from a funeral. He was distraught. That's what his mother explained. Maybe he wasn't thinking clearly. Who knows? I'm not out to condemn the kid, okay? I'm simply asking where a line should be drawn. Just curious, just wondering. 866-34-TRUTH. One major story that I didn't get to next week, and we'll get to your calls shortly, but one major story I didn't get to last week. Our friends at the Alliance Defense Fund have done some very, very major in-depth polling. If you remember, we've talked about recent Gallup polls indicating that a slight majority of Americans now favor same-sex marriage. I also pointed out that similar polls from Gallup within similar days indicated that most Americans thought at least 25% of the population was gay, so amazingly, remarkably skewed. But the Alliance Defense Fund, world's largest Christian legal organization, an alliance of more than 2,000 attorneys and 300 like-minded organizations defending the right of people to freely live out their faith, they did some very in-depth polling. And ADF is the legal leader in the battle to preserve marriage. ADF has participated in 57 cases. Of those, 42 have been concluded successfully. ADF is currently part of the litigation team in Perry versus Brown, the federal challenge to Prop 8, California's state constitutional marriage amendment. And again, all you living in New York, well, everybody be praying for righteousness in New York, for righteousness in the decisions regarding same-sex marriage, for congressional leaders, representatives to stand up and do what is right in the sight of God and the best interest of society, not what's just in their best interest as a politician. But ADF, so everybody be praying for that, especially those living in New York, do what you can to contact senators right to this last moment. But check this out. here's what ADF says. Marriage is a social, cultural, economic, and moral good. Americans believe this at ballot boxes in 31 out of 31 states. Americans have affirmed marriage by an average vote of nearly 68%. Altogether, a total of 63 million Americans have voted on state marriage amendments. 40 million, 63%, voted yes to protect marriage. So ADF commissioned Public Opinion Strategies to conduct what is likely the most comprehensive national study ever to determine what America finds most appealing about marriage and what ideas they are most confident expressing in today's increasingly hostile environment. After 14 focus groups comprising 124 swing voters undecided on marriage in Chicago, Orange County, California, and Atlanta, and a national survey of 1,500 Americans, the research affirmed by a 62 to 36 margin, Americans said, "I believe marriage should be defined only as the union between one man and one woman." 53% strongly agree with the statement. Americans believe marriage is a special, unique, timeless, and universally defined ideal that benefits society like no other relationship is able to do. Americans believe that the societal purpose of marriage is to naturally build healthy families for the good of future generations, and that children do best with both a mom and a dad. Americans reject the idea that it is bigoted or discriminatory to believe that society should uphold and promote the ideal. Marriage is the lifelong faithful union of one man and one woman in which children are raised with both a mom and a dad. Pro-marriage Americans list marriage as their number one issue at more than 2.5 times the rate as those who favor marriage redefinition. Americans believe that voting matters and are tired of having their votes threatened by courts. Isn't that fascinating? 866-34-TRUTH to the phones now for your take on the pants incident, starting with Mary in Houston. We lost Mary already. That was quick. Frank in New York City.
Yes,
you're on the line of fire, sir.
Oh, hey. I just wanted to say that it's unsanitary. I mean, it's simply unsanitary. You know, it's okay if it's a style, but, you know, you're talking about a sanitary condition. And I also feel that, you know, it wouldn't be appropriate. If could you imagine if a woman walked on a plane with her pants hanging down? I mean, you know, come on. It's silly.
All right, so we just kind of got used to it, but it's crazy. How would you feel about someone like that walking into a restaurant, and should the restaurant tell him to pull his pants up?
I guess it, you know, but on a plane it's such a closed area. You know, germs can be airborne. I don't know. I guess. Well, you've confused me, Dr. Brown.
I thought with the unsanitary comment that the restaurant would be a natural one for you. But all right, I get your basic take on it, and I appreciate you weighing in. The kid's got the boxer shorts on, but still, he doesn't have anything over them. All right, thanks for the call, Frank. Appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. Barbara in Manhattan, what's your take on this?
My take on this is that I think they were within their right because it is their IR line. They have certain standards. And middle-aged teenagers as well as younger teenagers, sometimes in their home, they're taught that they're princesses and princess. And, okay, your behavior in mom and dad's kingdom land and family kingdom land is okay. And for some strange reason, sometimes when they are out in public, they have that attitude and that it's okay and that nobody has the right to tell me, which I don't think that was his attitude, but some do. No one has the right to tell me how I can and cannot dress. But in North Carolina, South Carolina, other southern towns and states, thank God, there's still like a high quality, a decency of standards that kids are still trying to be taught. And I think that falls in that category. I'll give you an example of how I wish we had that here in New York City. Last Saturday, I was on the subway with my friend. A young man in his early 20s got on the train with his pants swagging, you know, with his underwear showing.
We got it.
Boxer shorts showing. The thing about it is the pants were swagging so low that his male anatomy, fully, you know what, was right in my face.
Ugh.
And I was sitting there with my friend. And I know what exactly would have happened if he said something. Those are the times when I say, and even he said, where is the cop when you need them? Or if we see young men, I have gone up to these young guys and I've said, you know, your parents are working hard for you. You're a college student. Pull up your pants.
Yeah.
Respect what your parents are doing for you. Okay.
And, you know, Barbara, I've got to jump in because we have a break. Thank you for weighing in. The question is, big question is, if a cop was there, would he have had the legal right to tell that kid to pull up his pants? New York? I don't think so.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, this issue today, this is part of moral and cultural revolution, is it not? Could you imagine, say, 50 years ago in American society, that guys would walk around with their pants hanging down so low that underwear is showing completely and that this is considered a style? 866-34-TRUTH. We're talking about a young man that was kicked off a plane and arrested for noncompliance, pulling up his pants when he was told to do so before getting on the plane. 866-348-7884. Did the airline go too far, or is this more of what our culture needs? Or is it simply a matter of, hey, a business has its standards? Before I go to the phones, again, the way I understand the history of this sagging pants culture is, one, it does come from prison life where prisoners don't have belts. Obviously, belts could be used to commit suicide or to strangle other people or other problematic behavior. So they don't have belts, and often the pants are loose-fitting. However, the signal of wearing your pants hanging down and exposing the underwear was to signal to other men in the prison that you were available. And I've heard people dispute it, but that's how I've heard it. In either case, it's vulgar. It's unseemly. But is it worse than some other outfits people wear? I was on a plane the other day, and some young gal got in. It's like, oh, you got to be kidding me. Just glad she wasn't sitting next to me. Yeah, sure, I'd share the gospel with her, but I'd rather share the gospel with her clothed. I mean, I want to describe how scantily clad she was. Like, you got to be kidding me. And, well, what do you... Should she have been sat down or told you can't get on the plane? It's inappropriate. I've actually heard of that happening in some cases. So where does one draw the line, right or wrong? Tanora in Hampton, Virginia, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing very well, thank you.
You're welcome. And I'm just calling to say that I think that the businesses should have standards, whether it's an airline, whether it's a department store. I think these young men need to pull their pants up and learn how to dress.
Simple and clear. No debate to you about it.
For me, no debate, because I think it's disrespectful, and I think the younger children, you're in a restaurant somewhere and you have your younger child in there with you, and then they see this. I've seen people go as far as bend over and show their behind, and I just think that it's just so, you know, not the right thing to do.
Absolutely.
And you know, and parents are getting younger, and our morals and our values are just going downhill.
Yep. Absolutely. All right. Thank you, Tanara. I appreciate you weighing in. Earl in Houston, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hey, how you doing today?
Doing very well. Thank you.
Good. Hey, I'm a 27-year police officer. I think they might have overreacted to the extent that I think every patron has the right to patron establishment, and that establishment has the right to serve you or not serve you. If you choose not to go to that, if they choose not to have you in that establishment for whatever reason, then they can ask you to leave. Once you've been asked to leave, then if you choose not to leave, then you're violating the law of trespassing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as far as the pants go, now they're making these pants with the underwear that is sewn to the top of the jeans, which makes it appear that the pants are hanging down to the ground. I don't know if you said that or not.
No, I wasn't aware of that, Earl.
Yeah, and so I don't think it's a problem as long as they're not showing any part of their genitalia or their rear. So, and as far as the law enforcement standpoint, I like the pants hanging on the ground because it's a lot easier to catch them when they run. They run from us.
So. All right. Well, that would probably be a perspective unique to you, since most of us would not be trying to chase somebody down. But as from the perspective of law, at least in Houston, there's nothing you could do. If kids walking down the street like that, and there's no legal reason you have to tell them to pull his pants up.
No, sir, not unless they're showing an actual part of their rear end or the genitalia in the front.
So. Got it. All right. Earl, thank you for weighing in, and I hope if someone breaks the law that you catch them easily, sir.
Thanks, sir.
All right. Interesting perspective. All right. Let me grab one more call, and hang on. We'll be getting to all your calls on the other side of the break. But I want to read a quote to you that's quite a striking quote. Johnny in Valdosta. All right, tell you what, let me dive in and do this. We'll get back to your phones. Phone lines are lit up, so keep trying to get through. Again, you can weigh in at AskDrBrown.org and click on the line of fire. First, let me just mention something that we're doing that we've never done before. Every week we give prayerful thought as to what resources we can offer and how we can make them available to discounted prices. Many of you know that I have classes online now from Fire School of Ministry, three classes that we've recorded, high quality. One is on principles of revival. In fact, at the end of the class, we join with the students together crying out, praying for revival. You get to be part of that. One is on Jewish roots. One is on principles of holiness. These are 12-hour classes, a little bit more than 12 hours, that I have taught for years as signature classes within our school. Everyone that's gone through our school for many years, our missionaries on the field, our pastors and teachers across America, they've all taken these classes. And it's only $50 for the entire class. You study it online, you get all the PowerPoint notes and all of that. This week, if you order any one of the classes, we'll give you an additional subscription for free. So that means just $25 for a full-length class on these subjects. Take it online at your leisure over a three-month period. So you order it, and then for a friend, colleague, family member, your pastor, you can give as a gift another class. So it's an extraordinary offer. But it's our way of also saying thank you as you stand with us. So to take advantage of that, call this number now, 1-800-278-9978. Order any one of the classes, Holiness, Jewish Roots, Revival, and you get a second subscription for free. 1-800-278-9978, or you can do it online, AskDrBrown.org. Click on the line of fire. Okay, when I wrote my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, I have a whole chapter on queer theology and a gay and lesbian reading of the Bible. And I have been accused, of people who are profess to be gay Christians or straight Christians who stand in solidarity with gay Christians and tell me I misrepresented things, I pulled out terrible things, I pull out the worst of the worst quotes. And I told them, look, I didn't go looking for these quotes. I bought the books. I bought books that seemed to be best-selling books or well-known books or the one and only full-length queer Bible commentary. I got the books that were considered major books, and as I read them, I was shocked by what I read. Shocked. So a recent book came out by Patrick S. Cheng called Radical Love, An Introduction to Queer Theology. Patrick Cheng is the assistant professor of historical and systematic theology at Episcopal Divinity School, Cambridge, Massachusetts. He holds a BA from Yale College, a JD from Harvard Law School, and a PhD, MPhil, and MA in systematic theology from Union Theological Seminary in New York. He's got a whole lot more degrees than I do. He's an ordained minister in the Metropolitan Community Church, Gay Church. Here's Carter Hayward, professor emerita of theology, Episcopal Divinity School. Patrick Cheng's Radical Love is an excellent introduction to queer theology. It is readable and nuanced, a marvelous teaching resource. His book comes highly praised by other professors, other leaders. He is considered to be a rising star in the gay Christian movement. And in his, and I just happened to get the book. I mean, I bought the book, and then I just flipping through it, I noticed he's got a section on holiness. According to Patrick Cheng, community marked by holiness is one that exhibits radical generosity and hospitality to others. As a result, certain sexual acts, including anonymous or communal sex, orgies, anonymous sex, would not be forbidden per se, but rather measured by the degree to which the actions are welcoming or hospitable. That's sick, friends. That's sick.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today on the Line of Fire. I am, as always, delighted to be with you. Oh, tomorrow's broadcast, we're going to focus on, did Jesus really mean that? Did Jesus really mean that? Some of the more radical, controversial sayings of Jesus. We've looked at some in the past. We'll look at some more tomorrow. Prepare to be challenged and strengthened. And Wednesday, probably going to talk about some of the pitfalls of when we talk about Jesus' revolution, some of the ways that we can get off track. And Thursday, there's been a rabbi that's been asking me questions on Facebook, counter-missionary rabbi, and talking about Matthew's interpretation of various passages. I'm planning, unless something earth-shattering happens that changes the direction we're going, I'm planning on looking at Matthew's use of the Old Testament on Thursday. And then, of course, Friday, you've got questions, we've got answers. We'll see. We'll see how the wind blows during this week, but that's where I'm planning on going. 866-34-TRUTH online, askdrbrown.org. I'm talking about the young man who, when he refused to pull up his pants getting on the plane, wearing the saggy pants, exposing the boxer short underwear, when he refused to do that, he was ultimately taken off the plane and arrested. They claimed he didn't cooperate. His mother claimed it was racial profiling, and he did pull up his pants once he sat down, and he was distraught also because he'd just come from the funeral of a friend. Regardless of why he did what he did, I'm not out to condemn this young man. That's not my issue. The issue is, did the airline do the right thing? CJ in Washington, D.C., thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thanks for having me.
Sure thing.
I just wrote a book called Square, The Death and Life of C.J. Blair. I spent about 12 years in and out of prison, and I heard you allude earlier about the prison system and how flagging or sagging came into existence by the prison system as an indicator to let individuals know that they were operating according to their activity. And that is true. That does happen in the penitentiary. However, I believe it goes further than that, because in prison you do get a belt. Once you get out of central booking, you do get a belt.
Okay.
However, our culture has shifted to move according to the fashion of hip-hop. And hip-hop is mimicking what's going on in prison. However, the origin of it in urban America, or should we say inner city America, with a lot of these trends and styles come from, a lot of the pants sagging came from the projects, because truthfully, parents just couldn't afford to keep buying kids clothes every year. So they would buy them a size big or two sizes up so they could grow into them. So a lot of sagging came by way of that from an economical perspective in inner city America. Then in addition to that, we can go further back and go to slavery, when clothes weren't as big and if there weren't belts and the slaves didn't have what they need. So I believe if we get to the root and the origin of where things come from, then we can address these things from more than a on-the-couch perspective and say, mm-hmm. this is acceptable or that is acceptable. The prison piece is there. However, prison is following a trend that happened in the neighborhood. The neighborhood piece is there. However, the neighborhood is following something that grew up. And then the growing up piece is there, but a lot of things happened during slavery. It's been my cause to try to educate young people of where these things come from, that they wouldn't try to follow after something just because it may be trendy or it may look fashionable because your favorite rapper is doing it.
So let me ask you this, CJ. And of course, you heard me say, as I understand it, I've heard it's been disputed. In other words, I wasn't dogmatic about the origins. I appreciate you shedding more light, especially on prison culture. I'm going to ask you this. If we don't have time to finish before the break, stay on the line with me. But I guess my big question is, if the origins of this are, as you say, we haven't seen this, though, as part of our culture until very recently, as far as the exaggerated way that these are being worn. Is that mainly because of the hip-hop style that's being mimicked? So stick around. Other side of the break, you can answer this. And everybody on hold, we'll get to your calls coming up next. Thanks.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire. That's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining the discussion about to pull the pants up or not. Should there be public standards of dress, public standards for airlines? How far do we go with this? CJ from Washington, D.C., thanks for holding through the break. So two questions for you, and then I want to get to some other callers. Number one, why are we seeing this now, whereas past generations, we didn't see this, this dress style? Is it mainly because of the hip-hop example? That's one thing. And then two, real quick, what kind of results do you see when you try to educate young people about things and tell them to consider how they're dressed?
Well, one, I don't think that's not necessarily true that this style has just come into fruition. To be honest, in like the mid-80s, 86, 87, I remember songs with Big Daddy Kane and Coogee Rap and, you know, those guys. I remember being in 8th and 9th grade. I'm 39 years old now, but I remember being in the 8th and 9th grade and my pants were sagging. You know, there was a song with a rapper said he wears pants hanging down and the sneakers untied. So,
got it. Well, yeah, well, from the 80s, from the mid-80s, though.
Now.
Right, yeah,
but
just
it is,
now.
It is connected to the emergence of hip-hop.
Okay, got it.
It is connected to hip-hop because hip-hop is more than just rap music. It's music, it's language, it's culture, it's the way you dress.
Got it.
So all of that infuses hip-hop. Unfortunately, hip-hop is based in inner-city America. It comes out of a struggle. So within that struggle, you get everything from the promiscuous lifestyle to the murder to the gangs to the culture, which prison is a part of. So if folks are dressing the way in prison, it's going to transcend to our culture, which is going to be showcased through entertainment and music around the world.
Totally clear.
Because hip-hop is the only music form that has transcended all language barriers and ethnicities. So with that happening, you have young people now following leaders that are not really leaders. They're rappers.
Yep.
So,
and they are prominent examples with a powerful medium. Hey, I got to run, but just tell me really quickly, do kids open their ears to you because of your own experience and you can speak clearly to them? Are you getting young people to listen to you?
They do. They actually do. I think young people, they don't know. And the Bible says my people perish for a lack of knowledge. They really don't know what it is that they're doing. And once you tell them that, hey, man, this is attached to you trying to let someone know that you're a homosexual or you're trying to let somebody know that you're a gangbanger, they're like, really? I didn't know that. I was just, you know, being fashionable. I was following the trend. Once you make them aware of what it is that they're doing, they're pretty open to changing their ways.
Well, I'm glad to. Hey, CJ, thanks so much for weighing in and sharing all this with our audience. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
All right. God bless you. All right. Danielle in Brooklyn, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi. Basically, about my opinion about the pants thing is that every generation has fashion that people who are part of the status quo don't agree with. In the 60s, my mother tells me about, like, if you went to a job interview with an afro, the late 60s, you weren't getting a job. You were still supposed to have your hair pressed and whatever. So about the pants thing, I'm like, this is basically the latest fashion trend that nobody agrees with. I'm like, so to me, I'm not really too concerned about that. What I'm concerned about is the fact that what people are trying to do about it, to go arrest somebody for a fashion trend when, yeah, a lot of them I do see, they don't do the decent exposure. They do have the boxer shorts under there, so all of their parts are covered. To arrest somebody for that, that is an overreaction in my opinion, because to me it's making me feel like we're moving more towards a police state. Because it's like there's certain things that you can arrest somebody for. If you see somebody committing a crime that's harming somebody or has the intent to harm somebody, you can arrest them because they have the intent to harm somebody and somebody's going to get hurt. Somebody's walking around with a fashion you don't agree with, basically, if you don't like their fashion, then that's really basically nothing. I'm like, that's just fashion. It's not hurting anybody. I'm not talking about the ones who have indecent exposure, because there's some people out there. I'm not talking about those ones.
Okay.
The ones who are completely covered, you don't agree with their fashion choices, it's fashion is subjective. Next year, they're going to have another fashion trend that nobody agrees with. So
right. Well,
like,
I mean, the question would be, is it just fashion, or is there anything indecent about you know, wearing the pants that expose the underwear, whether it's boxers or not? But to be sure, Danielle, the issue, he wasn't arrested for having his pants down. He was arrested for refusing to comply with airline officials to the point that he had to be taken off the plane, and then allegedly didn't comply with the officers when he was off the plane. That's why he was arrested. So again, I wasn't there. If he was arrested for wearing the saggy pants, right, that's not in our law code in most all states that I know of. I agree that would have been an overreaction based on our current law. But bear in mind, he could have been talking on his cell phone and refused to get off.
Well,
and then he'd be taken off the plane, and if he didn't comply with the officers, he'd be arrested. So that was the greater issue. But, hey, Danielle, thanks for weighing in with a different viewpoint. I do appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. AJ in Manhattan, thanks for being on the line of fire today.
Hi. I live in Harlem, and over here, I've seen posters, flyers posted up around the neighborhood where they, you know, they frown upon sagging, and it depends on what part of the country you're at, but that's pretty much old, and they let them know that was letting people know that you were free, you were homosexual in the system.
Right, so they're saying, hey, this is where it came from, this is part of the message, why are you sending that signal? This is not just a fashion trend, it comes from an ungodly history.
Yeah, and it's discouraged in you know, in Harlem, and I'm pretty shocked. I'm pretty happy that they put flyers up and they tell the story of where it started at.
So this is just neighborhoods trying to raise the standard and teach dignity to their young people. Hey, AJ, thanks for weighing in with that information. If you live in Harlem and you've seen those posters, be curious to know your take on it as well. 866-34-TRUTH. Andrea in Manhattan, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thanks for taking my call. First,
glad
I have
to
say that I'm sorry that this young man had to go through this after coming from his friend's funeral. You know, I have a 10-year-old son at home, and this is another thing we have to discuss. However, I asked the same question about ladies that wear those very short shorts or looser clad clothes on their way to a warm destination. I also question the airline about, is there a written code, or is it something they need to visit urgently? Otherwise, I think it's unfair to target the young man. Although I agree with the airline, if this young man was based on disobedience in being arrested, it is something that they had to do, because with the laws that's on the books now, they have to deal with it accordingly, as they do with anybody being disobedient, whether you're drinking, on a cell phone, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and that's Andrew. Of course, it's the guy's coming from a funeral, and it's sad to hear it. What is it, 19, 20 years old, just lost a friend. So yeah, it's obviously traumatic overall.
Another thing, Dr. Brown, is that we just finished Father's Day, and how many of these young men really have the father figure at home in order to teach them?
Oh yeah,
show them example. These are the issues that this community is dealing with.
Yeah, that's why I said the last thing in my mind is to condemn the kid involved and just
Absolutely.
Look at the larger issue. But yeah, I had heard at least one case of a lady that was suing an airline because she was told she couldn't fly because of the way she was dressed. And again, the question is, are there specific codes? If there are, look, I've been on a plane sometimes, and maybe I put my headphones on at the beginning, as you know, when it was newer to be using headphones. And they said, sir, you can't have them on before we take off. And I said, but it's not plugged in. It's just I have them out. And they said, sir, you can't. And I said, oh, okay, if you're telling me. And then one guy asked, I said, boy, I've no one's ever told me that. He said, here it is in the books. I said, hey, whatever it is, you're in charge. So
exactly.
Maybe there's a discretionary thing in terms of modesty or not. Yeah, and there are 101 larger cultural social issues, which is why I raise it. I mean, I've seen ladies dressed in certain ways now,
mm-hmm.
and you know, the unbelievably low-cut jeans and tops exposing different things.
And it makes me feel uncomfortable, even as a woman. So go figure.
Yeah, exactly. It's an embarrassing thing, and as a man, I've got to immediately look the other way. But where is the line drawn? That's the question. And as things get pushed further, I mean, until there's a clear line drawn, you just have to do what the people tell you to do, because
exactly.
they're in charge, and you want to have a nice flight. etc. And maybe this kid had a bad attitude or chip on his shoulder, but he's not the focus. It's the larger issue. And absolutely, it points to the need for healthy families and godly examples. And here's a man that was in prison before, CJ, now trying to influence young people in a right way and tell them, hey, this is where things come from. Step higher. We need more of that. A change is not just going to come because one day a bolt of lightning hits and everybody thinks differently. It's going to be one life at a time, one family at a time. Hey, Andrea, thanks for weighing in. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. Hang in there. I will try to get to many more calls before we take our next break. And if you didn't hear about our special offer for online classes this week, I'll tell you again about it when we come back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us. This is a subject of real interest based on the volume of callers trying to get through today. But I'm really appreciating the comments, the different perspectives. No two perspectives have been the same, so I really do appreciate the calls. 866-34-TRUTH, talking about the young man pulled off the plane and then arrested for noncompliance with airline requirements that he pull up his sagging pants. We're not focusing on the young man involved. I hope that he learns from this experience in a positive way rather than letting him become bitter and angry at the system. Regardless of whether everything was handled in the best way or not, the question is, how far should things go? You're flying on a flight. Hey, I'm a big guy. I'm 6'3", 250, but I'm certainly not. If you're sitting next to me, you're fine, okay? But I've sat next to people sometimes. You get two or three guys my size in economy in the back, that's a squeeze. That's a squeeze because we're big guys, and you know, my upper body's a little bit bigger from working out, not massive or anything. But I've had guys sit next to me that were so unbelievably large. I thought there's no way they're getting in the seat. They're in the seat. There's not much room for me left, and it's a long flight. Not fun. Well, there's some airlines that now charge for two seats because the person is that big. They're two seats. So is this the same kind of thing that airlines sets their policy and you have to draw lines certain places? 866-34-TRUTH. Frank in Bronxville, New York, thanks for calling today.
Hi. I think we're all missing the point here. This whole thing is about following direction and following rules.
Yep.
When they ask you to put on your take off your headset, I mean, you're not aware that you might not be able to hear direction or you won't be able to get the oxygen mask on. And there's a reason. And if this big guy, belligerent, forget what color he is and what he looks like, if this guy isn't taking simple direction now, you're 10,000 feet in the air, and all of a sudden you got some nut who won't do what he's supposed to do. And, you know, everything here is about listening and following direction, and forget God's law, listening to man's law. And there are rules that, you know, we don't know about in our own little world sometimes. You know, three guys are parked in front of a synagogue in a van. They don't realize that, you know, there was a death threat on the people and the cops come over and ask you, what are you guys doing here? And, oh, it's because my color, my skin, you're asking me and that kind of a thing.
Right. So even if somebody was a victim of racial profiling in another situation, the fact is we just have to obey the authorities. That's how the game is played. And if they tell you now is when you fasten your seatbelt, even if you're uncomfortable doing it, you do it. Hey, Frank, thanks for weighing in clearly. I appreciate it. Eric in Brooklyn, thanks for calling The Line of Fire. Hello, Eric. Are you there?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air, sir.
All right. Well, I am a Christian too, 16, and I'm not going to lie, I'm just like, I did follow the trend of sagging your pants, but then when you do try to stop on speaking for the teenager, you do try to stop, it becomes like regular to you.
Hey, Eric, can I get you to talk, make sure you're talking right into the phone, not on speaker or anything like that? It's a little hard to hear you, and I want to hear what you're saying. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Yes, and when you do pull up, it, like, when you first doing it, it's like, is a consistent thing. And then when you're finally when you want to stop, it's already like in your system. When you pull your clothes, you pull your pants, you stop to a certain place. So even to like when y'all say that it has to stop, it takes time because it took time to do it. And when you're trying to stop, it's very hard to try.
So you're saying it really becomes a habit, that this is how
yeah,
you do it.
It becomes a habit.
And it's a habit that's hard to break. And would you be personally offended if someone told you pull those pants up?
Well, no, not really, because, well, my mother does it to me all the time.
Uh-huh.
So it's basically, like, I hear it all the time from adults, and I do it. But then, regardless, it's like, it becomes a habit. So when you do put your pants on again, you're going to put it up to a certain point again.
Uh-huh. Hey, Eric, here's a way to help. How old are you, Eric?
I'm 16.
16, got it. Yeah, I thought you said that at the beginning. I didn't know if I caught that. But, hey, I appreciate you being so honest. And I was 16 years old when I got born again. It wasn't a matter of wearing saggy pants for me. It was a matter of shooting heroin and living a real bad life. But just think about this, though. Just think about what would Jesus do? You know, if Jesus was walking in the streets in our culture today, you wouldn't picture him with the pants hanging down, or say the Apostle Paul or something. He's going to preach in a church in the city or do a meeting. You wouldn't picture him like that. I don't think so. Just, you know, you're a young man of God. Follow the Lord. Yeah. Do what's right. Set an example. And the good thing is when you set a good habit, man, it's hard to break that good habit. But thanks for calling in, Eric, and sharing that insight with us. Appreciate it very much. Hey, like I said, no two calls alike today. 866-34-TRUTH. If you call in now, I'll take your call early in the next hour. I wasn't planning on doing this, but I think I'm going to keep this discussion going a little bit further. For those of you who heard me read a quote from Patrick Cheng's book, Radical Love, An Introduction to Queer Theology, if you think I took it out of context, I'm going to share a little bit more of the context right now. Here is the context of what he wrote here. The first mark of the church, he claims, is oneness. The second mark of the church, holiness. Stuart describes this as where the divine meets the human and where God's grace is manifested on earth. For Stuart, the holy occurs whenever we attempt to give back to God what God has done for us. Specifically, what God has done for us is characterized by the sheer gift of grace, which can only be repaid in our own radical generosity and hospitality to others. Thus, a community marked by holiness is one that exhibits radical generosity and hospitality to others. Kathy Rudy has written about how anonymous sexual encounters actually can be a form of hospitality and welcome to others. Skipping down, and it's horrific. Thus, extrapolating from Rudy's ethic of hospitality, queer people, indeed all people, might very well find ecclesial holiness in a variety of unorthodox places, including a circuit party, which is like mass orgy, a gathering for nude erotic massage at the Body Electric School, or a sex party. This indeed would be a manifestation of church's radical love. That is radical perversion, friends. And that's one reason I wrote A Queer Thing Happened to America. Okay. Out of time, let me remind you that for years, people were saying, Mike, Dr. Brown, when are you going to get your classes online? When are you going to put classes online? When are you going to do that? So finally, at quite a good expense, we hired a top videographer, and we put three of our classes online, three of the best classes I've taught, Principles of Holiness, Principles of Revival, and Jewish Roots. If you subscribe to one of the classes now, we'll give you a second subscription free. So two classes, 12 hours plus, for just $25 each, $50. It's an amazing value. Call us right now at 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. And take advantage of the special offer this week. Here's my bottom line. We see some real issues in the world. We see even moral insanity in the world. We see lack of standards in the world. How about if we look in the mirror and ask the question, how am I living? What kind of example am I setting? How are my kids living? What is our message to the world? So did you hear about the young man who was flying home from a friend's funeral, and when he wouldn't pull his pants up, he was pulled off the plane and arrested. Should there be a dress code for flying?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Let me wish a day after Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there listening. We've got some very interesting things to talk about on the broadcast today. In fact, a topic that was so hot in the first hour, I decided to keep it going in the second hour here. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Again, those just tuning in for the first time, wondering what I mean by second hour. What I mean is we do an hour in different parts of the country, also live online. And you can catch both hours by going to our website, AskDrBrown.org, and clicking on the Line of Fire. Hey, before I get to the main subject, did you hear about what happened during the U.S. Open? NBC played, it was meant to be a patriotic clip interspersing scenes with our military and children playing, saying the Pledge of Allegiance, with one conspicuous thing missing. That's right. They left out under God. They edited it out under God. Come on, this is the Pledge of Allegiance. So of course NBC immediately got flooded with tweets from Twitter and Facebook posts and calls, and they've apologized. We didn't mean to offend anyone. Well, of course they didn't plan. We're gonna offend you. I mean, maybe some other people did. Can you believe that they had to edit out? This is the Pledge of Allegiance. Kids praying it. Saying it, reciting it. That's kind of Freudian slip there. Maybe that's what NBC was afraid of. Anyway, how remarkable. How utterly remarkable. Okay. The story we're focusing on, and I got a bunch of other things to talk to you about as well on the program. The story we're focusing on, it happened a couple days ago. There's a young man, football player. He is a light-skinned black man with dreadlocks, plays what college football. And he's getting on a plane. He's coming back from the funeral from a friend of his. And he's getting on the plane, and he's wearing the saggy pants. So the pants hanging way down, exposing the boxer shorts. And he's told by someone, the airline, you know, pull your pants up. Well, I'll do it when I get a chance. And the officer says, hey, can I see your boarding pass? Hey, I haven't done anything. What's the problem? Well, ends up, he is now getting on the plane. And according to his mom, he said, when I get a hand free, I can do it. And he pulled his pants up when he got on the plane. According to U.S. Airways, he was noncompliant, wouldn't obey the order to pull his pants up. Because of that, he was told all the passengers to leave the plane. He was then taken off the plane. According to their side of the story, U.S. Air, he was not compliant with the law officers either, at which point he was arrested. I don't want to focus on the young man. Don't want to focus on his specific situation as far as why he did what he did. Was he belligerent? Shouldn't he have been arrested specifically? But was it right for the airline to say, pull your pants up? And if so, what about some lady in short shorts, super low cut or super, super low cut jeans, or wearing really low cut top, or you could see some of her undergarments showing? Do you tell her you can't get on unless you cover up? Where does one draw the line? What about the saggy pants culture? 866-34-TRUTH. We'll talk about that and a lot more. Stay with us.
Fire we please, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
To pull the pants up or not, I guess that's the big question, 866-34-TRUTH. But in a very serious note, we know that there are laws against indecent exposure, and we know that there are certain things that would be considered inappropriate, unacceptable. As far as I know, having flown several million miles over the years, it must be against airline code for someone to wear a bathing suit, and just a bathing suit. Obviously, men have to have a shirt on, and I've never seen someone try to get on a plane just wearing a bathing suit, male or female. So there are obviously certain laws, just like certain restaurants, no shoes, no shirt, no service, that kind of thing. Where is the line drawn is the question. 866-34-TRUTH, online, askdrbrown.org. I've got something I want to share with you that's a real shocker from a book called Radical Love by Patrick Chang. You say, oh, that sounds like a cool book, Radical Love by Patrick Chang. Now, not Patrick Chan, not C-H-A-N. This is Patrick Chang, and it is an introduction to queer theology. I'm going to share some of that later, not directly related to what we're talking about, but I'll share some of that with you later. So what's your take on this? In the first hour, a man who had been a prisoner for 12 years called in and said, yes, this is part of prison culture, whereby a man wearing the saggy pants is telling another man he is available for homosexual sex. And the caller also said it goes back to other culture, just in poor communities, even slavery, where you didn't have changes of clothes. Just clothes would start too baggy and then saggy, and then ultimately, you know, would fit properly over a period of time. But either way, the caller emphasized that this has become the thing for maybe 20-something years through hip-hop culture and hip-hop example, which also does come out of some prison backdrop. But what's your take on this? Liz in Queens, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Oh, hi. Hi, I enjoy your show. I wanted to tell you that.
Thank you.
Okay. I just have two comments to make. One is that I once heard that on a psychological basis, some of these people who, these like young men who have been so deprived of fathers or economically deprived or whatever, are trying to look like a little baby whose pants fall down. And you know, they're like, they want to be children again. They want to be taken care of. And the reason why that makes a little sense to me is because there was a fad at one time about wearing these big guys like that, wearing baby hats.
Hmm. Well, that's
you know, with the flaps over there, they were baby hats, actually. It didn't last very long. So, I mean, not that that can help the situation. It still is not proper, but that may be their motive. Possibly, you know, there could be many reasons. Like, I think there's many reasons why people are gay. I don't think it's just one reason.
Mm-hmm.
I think it could be genetic, it could be psychological. Anyway, and then I wanted to ask you what you thought about girls who dress the way you were describing. Oh, what are they looking for? I also heard that they're not really looking for sexual attention. They're looking for attention. And
yeah, I've spoken to.
What is their motive?
Well, the motive would be that just like a guy has some gratification from looking at a girl, looking at a woman, if a man is acting in the flesh, he has gratification from looking at someone that he finds to be attractive. That the woman finds value in having someone look at her. The woman finds value in being attractive and having guys notice her. Now, I know that culture has degenerated such that there are some young women who don't fully recognize what they're doing. But to a great extent, I would think that the majority, they want the attention. They want a guy to look at her. And, you know, if she sees heads turning or notices guys glancing, that now she has a certain degree of importance and value because she's being looked at. Yeah, there are often deeper issues as to why people do what they do. Sometimes we look at the surface of it, but it often goes much deeper. And a lady may dress like that, and she's a virgin, but this is her way of being sexual and getting attention. And if it went further than that, she'd be shocked. Of course, she shouldn't be shocked if it goes further, because that's what a guy would be after. Hey, Liz, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. Lisa in New York, thanks for... All right, we lost Lisa. Greg in Houston, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown, for taking my phone call. I've been listening to you quite some time.
Thank you.
Dr. Brown, I actually work in the music business.
Hey, can I just get you to speak up just a little? Slightly hard
yes,
to
sir.
Hear you. What kind of music business do you work in?
R&B music, hip-hop.
Ah, okay.
I work for artists like that. I go out and do live concerts and stuff like that. I put the gear up and all that kind of stuff.
All right, so you're
and
an insider.
Yes, sir, I'm an insider. So I come in contact with a lot of the old veteran artists and the new veteran artists. And lots of times what I do is, you know, I've looked at and I express to them, you know, I win their confidence and I pull them aside and I said, look, let me tell you, you know, I know for a fact that this trend you're doing right here with your pants hanging off, this came out of a prison mentality, you know, a state of mind that this came out of. This is the state of mind that these people were. Why are you, you know, portraying this out in public? Like, I mean, and now that you have arrived on this level right here, why are you still appropriating this thing out in public for all these other kids to follow you? I mean, don't you understand you're a role model? And then another thing that I've been...
How do they respond to that, Greg?
Well, the way they respond to it was, well, you know, it's just a trend. When, you know, when I'm home, I'm wearing suits, ties, and, you know, it's just a trend. You know, I'm growing out. Yeah, you know, I can't maintain. I got kids. I got a family. You know, it's just something I'm doing to make a living. You know, so, and then when you tell, you know, your nieces and nephews, hey, these cats just doing this to make a living. So it's almost like it's, you know, they just put that out there because it makes money. It's the way they make a living and you buying into it, it's just helping them, you know, get across and sell CDs.
Yep.
And, you know, sometimes they hear it and sometimes they don't. And the other situation I was dealing with was the earring thing. And I explained to them it came from the thing with the sailors. You know, earring on the left side was you were male. You were mailman, and there was just an earring on the right side meant you were gay. Earring on both sides meant you went both ways. And I tell them that. I said, so what are you? I ask them, you need to really look in the mirror and ask yourself, who are you and what are you doing? Why are you doing this? You following somebody else's trend, and they made them your role model. Once you stand up, because eventually you're going to be a role model to a young child that you and your wife or your girlfriend appropriate in this world. So what are you going to do then? And they stop and they think and say, yeah, Uncle Greg, or yeah, Mr. Greg, you know, you're right. I really do need to look at it like that. So, yeah, I'm trying to do what I can do from where I'm at.
Oh, that is awesome, man. And, you know, Greg, the thing is, by calling people higher, instead of belittling them by saying, hey, you're a role model. People are looking at you. There is something empowering with that,
right.
and people do want to step higher when they realize that. Now, of course, some have quite intentionally done the other way. They're role models, so they are using it in ways that are subversive to values that we stand for. But, yeah, if people start to – because a lot of them also didn't come from the best home life and family life.
Exactly.
And they realize they don't want to replicate that. So, hey, man, keep sowing those seeds, buddy. I appreciate it, Greg.
Thank you. Thank you, doctor.
All right. God bless you. Wow, look at that. Just I like that. Way to go, Greg. Thank you. Nia in Raleigh, North Carolina, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. I was in Raleigh yesterday morning, actually, through the weekend, preaching. Had a great time in Raleigh. But thanks for calling, Nia.
Yes, hi. I just wanted to say, you know, I'm 30 years old. I come from the culture in the 90s where it all began, of the baggy pants and everything oversized and, you know, the fad and the hip-hop community. And I just feel like at this point, it's one of those things that has really lingered on within the generation. And I think that people are kind of getting, you know, to the point of, okay, we're sick of it. Can it change now, you know, with the whole baggy pants and, now, at first it was oversized, but I remember wearing oversized pants when I was a youth. And now, for the women, it became very skimpy. and the men, it became, okay, let's show our underwear. So it's grown more of a lax thing. And me as a person that I think that sometimes when I'm in the shopping malls or in the grocery store and I have my young children, I'm like, okay, this is a fad, but sometimes I can feel like it's a little disrespectful when I have to see your underwear.
Mm-hmm.
So when you ask the question about should it be a dress code, you know, when you're in these places, I agree about it. You know, I agree with it being some type of dignity shown with us as people to look, you know, and I'm not saying you have to dress a certain way, but I'm saying when it becomes your undergarments being shown, I think that there should be some type of dress code, you know. Even in schools, we have dress codes. You know, with the girls wearing short skirts or short shorts, they have to be a certain level I mean, because it just, to me, I just feel like the dignity level is being reduced in our young people when they're following this type of trend.
And the question here is, if you continue to go in a certain direction, where does it end up? Now, I know you could say, well, if we go the opposite direction, we end up like radical Islam and women wearing burqas and stuff like that. But I'm quite sure that there is a happy medium. And look, a lot of the shift took place in the 60s. I watched it happen during the days of what we call the counterculture revolution. And the culture really hasn't recovered since then, which is why we need an awakening in the church that will then bring a moral and culture revolution. Hey, Nia, thanks for weighing in. I appreciate it.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, if you live in the greater Charlotte area, what are you doing Friday night? Friday night starting at 7. How about Saturday night starting at 6:30? Well, yeah, okay, good. Join me. We are having two special nights of meetings held at Fire Church in Concord. That's right next. It's less than a half mile away from the Charlotte Motor Speedway. It used to be Lowe's Motor Speedway, so well known to anyone in the area. Right near Concord Mills Mall, also well known to anyone in the area, just a few minutes away from there. I'll be preaching Friday night, beginning at 7 o'clock, Saturday, beginning at 6:30. I want to meet our new listeners or those who've been longtime listeners, share my heart, things that are burning in my heart, minister to you. We'll have a time of worship. You'll be blessed. I believe you'll encounter the Lord and be changed by coming out and get to be part of what we're doing here on The Line of Fire. So it's this coming Friday, June 24th, 7 o'clock, Saturday, 6:30. Come out both nights, one of the nights if you're within an hour or two of Charlotte. I'd love to meet you. If you're a listener and that's how you are hearing about this, as opposed to someone in the congregation already that knows about this, by all means, come up and introduce yourself to me before or after the meeting. And for details, just go to my website, askdrbrown.org. Right on the bottom of the page, you'll see the itinerary for this month. Okay, 866-34-TRUTH. Before we get back to the baggy pants, saggy pants story and rightness or wrongness of what U.S. Airways did in terms of the story, some other news items I just want to mention to you. This came out, yesterday, New York Post. Pro-creators, sperm donors, or dads to dozens. When he was a cash-strapped college student 20 years ago, Todd Whitehurst didn't think too deeply on the consequences of donating sperm. Then when he was 41, he got an email from a girl named Virginia. She said, basically, I'm 14 and I think I'm your daughter, explained Whitehurst, now a 45-year-old medical engineer. Shortly after he found a son, Tyler, now 14, and another, Gavin, now 16, that led to another child and another and yet another. It was definitely overwhelming, Whitehurst said. I'm not even sure how many children there are. So far, he has found 9 kids sired by his sperm. Statistically speaking, said one biogeneticist, Whitehurst could be the father of 42 to 60 children. Thanks to a lack of industry regulation, high totals are all too probable, especially for prolific college kids like Whitehurst, who donated weekly for about 3 years for $50 a pop at a clinic on the Stanford University campus in the 1980s and 90s. A website set up for the children of sperm donors has discovered a number of super dads who have fathered dozens, sometimes hundreds, of children. One top seed in Virginia has sired an astounding 129 kids and counting, according to the donor's sibling registry. This is not what Father's Day was about. This is not what God intended for fathers. Another donor in the Boston area has been traced to 72 kids, said Wendy Kramer, a mother to a sperm donor child who started on the online registry when her son began asking questions about his pop. The registry has found 92 groups of 10 or more offspring and 336 groups that have up to 9 siblings. Do you understand the dynamics of this? Do you understand that people whose dad is a non-existent person aside from the fact that his sperm was donated, do you understand that these kids and surveys have been done of this. They're wondering when they're walking down the street and see someone that looks slightly like them. I wonder if I'm related to that person. When they're going out on a date with someone, a lot of them wonder, is it possible I'm related to that person? Now, kids raised in adopted homes would have a similar type of experience, less so than this, but they would experience something similar to this. Well, who's my real mom and dad? But this is very different in that you have divorced fathering from raising a child. You have divorced fathering even from a sexual act with a woman. You've just donated sperm. I'm sure there are cases where couples are unable to conceive and they think, well, this is a better case. If it's because of the husband, then this is a better case scenario somehow. And at least it will be the wife's baby with an anonymous sperm donor we can raise as our kid, as opposed to adopting a kid that has neither the mom or the dad's genetics in it. But this is certainly another example of how far our culture has gotten from what God intended. And then this was a CBS News Father's Day special, top 10 things learned from their child. By whom? By two dads. Yeah, a two-dad household. Isn't this sweet? Father's Day is an American tradition more than a century old, and it's being embraced by some untraditional fathers. So, of course, we are the news media. Let us celebrate a two-dad household, two dads raising a girl, Tallulah. No thought about the fact that two dads can never be a mom. No thought about the fact that as much as they love this little girl, they can never provide what a mom does, nor can they help her go through certain periods of life that only a woman can help with. They may be very devoted. They may love their daughter. They may love each other. It doesn't mean this is contrary to God's design, contrary to God's intention, but of course something that will be celebrated by the news media. And look, to me, all these stories, the saggy pants story, this story, all these stories go hand in hand just with the breakdown of family and the breakdown of things as intended by God. And if you haven't heard this survey, which runs contrary to the recent Gallup poll that indicated that a slight majority of Americans favor same-sex marriage, and again, as we've said repeatedly, that same groups of people polled by Gallup or similar Gallup polls indicate that Americans have a completely skewed idea of how many gay-identified people there are in our culture, putting it at 25% instead of 2 or 3%. But the Alliance Defense Fund, which is the world's largest Christian legal organization, alliance of more than 2,000 attorneys and 300 like-minded organizations defending the right of people to freely live out their faith, and I've worked with them closely a number of times. Some of my dear friends are involved with Alliance Defense. One of my former students from Long Island is a lead attorney with them. They did an in-depth survey. They commissioned Public Opinion Strategies to conduct what is likely the most comprehensive national study ever to determine what America finds most appealing about marriage and what ideas they are most confident expressing in today's increasingly hostile environment. After 14 focus groups comprising 124 swing voters undecided on marriage in Chicago, Orange County, California, and Atlanta, and a national survey of 1,500 Americans, the research affirmed by a 62-36% margin, Americans said, "I believe strongly marriage should be defined only as the union between one man and one woman." And 53% strongly agreed with this statement. So the polls may not be as indicated across the board by the pop media. Okay, for many years, people have been asking me, when can we study with you online? When are you going to put your classes online? So at considerable expense over the last year with a videographer to give us high-quality classes, and for you to stay in your home and experience the power of these classes and the effect of these classes with the PowerPoint notes and everything, we put together three of my best classes: Principles of Holiness, Principles of Revival, Jewish Roots, over 12 hours each. It's only $50 to take the class over a three-month period, which is dirt cheap, super cheap. However, this week, if you take a class, we will give you a free subscription to give to a friend, family member, colleague, whoever you want, and they can also take it at no cost to them. So two classes for the price of one. Call now at 1-800-278-9978. Our operators will help you understand what classes are available. 1-800-278-9978. Take advantage of it.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution.
Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So this is the news story that's created some very interesting conversations over the last hour and a half on the airwaves as we've been talking about it. We're going to continue to focus on this. To pull the pants up or not, did the airline do the right thing in ordering a young man to pull his saggy pants up, and when he refused to, was then exited off the plane, and when he didn't comply immediately with officers, was then arrested? I'm going to play a clip for you in a moment. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. You can weigh in online at askdrbrown.org and click on the line of fire. And then I want to, before we get to your calls, I want to read a real shocking passage to you from a book called Radical Love. Oh, yeah, a shocking passage. But here's the mom talking about what happened to her son on the plane.
Them wearing their pants saggy, it's a trend.
And Donna Doyle says she can't believe a trend has landed her son, Deshaun Marmon, in a San Mateo County jail for refusing to pull up his sagging pants.
Officer came and asked him for his ticket, his boarding pass, and he asked him why. And he says, I just need your boarding pass. He says, why? What did I do? I haven't done anything.
U.S. Airways flight crew felt otherwise. A ticket taker and a stewardess asked Marmon to pull up his sagging pajama bottoms as he was walking to board the plane.
And he told her that I'll pull it up as soon as I can get my hands free.
His mother says he kept walking. She also says her son told her he sat down and pulled up his pants. By then, the crew was taking action because they felt he wasn't following orders. The pilot ordered all passengers off the plane, and Marmon was taken into custody for trespassing, battery, and resisting arrest.
He's a big, tall, light-skinned black boy with dreadlocks. Gets on the plane with saggy pants. Right there, you're stereotyped.
His mother also...
All right, yeah, we'll just jump in there. So the question is not what happened to this kid specifically. I'm not out to condemn him. He was coming back from a funeral. A young friend of his had died. He may have been distraught. I'm not out to condemn the kid. The question is, did the airline do the right thing in ordering him to pull his pants up? And then when he didn't comply, was it the right thing to pull him off the plane? Should there be dress codes? What about women in scanty clothing and revealing some of their undergarments? Where does one draw the line? Obviously, if he was arrested, it was for resisting the officers, according to the report. So what's your take on that? And what about the culture in general? Is there a way to change this? Is there a way to get people to step higher? Should there be laws about these things? 866-34-TRUTH. I got this book by Patrick Chang called Radical Love, An Introduction to Queer Theology. I've been told that he is a highly respected up-and-coming young gay theologian. He's the assistant professor of historical and systematic theology at Episcopal Divinity School, Cambridge, Massachusetts. Now, check out his educational background. He holds a BA from Yale College and a JD from Harvard Law School. So that's a law degree. And a PhD, MPhil, and MA in systematic theology from Union Theological Seminary in New York City. So as I'm looking at it, that's two more degrees. Yeah, two more degrees, including a JD and MPhil beyond what I mean, that's a lot of education. He is an ordained minister in the Metropolitan Community Church, Gay Church. According to Carter Hayward, author of Keep Your Courage, A Radical Christian Feminist Speaks, and Professor Emerita of Theology at Episcopal Divinity School, Patrick Chang's Radical Love is an excellent introduction to queer theology. It is readable and nuanced, a marvelous teaching resource. Then according to James H. Cohn, Charles Augustus Briggs, Distinguished Professor of Systematic Theology, Union Theological Seminary, New York, Patrick Chang's Radical Love is not only an excellent introduction to lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender theology, but an important contribution to the discipline of theology and the life of the church. It is a must-read for anyone who cares about the health of the church and theology today. We come back. I'm going to read a couple of paragraphs from this highly praised queer theology book. You don't want to miss this. And then we'll take your calls about pull the pants up or not.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We got a call in the first hour from a man who had been in prison 12 years and did confirm that in prison culture, when a man would wear the pants hanging down and the underwear showing, it was to tell the other men that he was available for sexual activity. He also said that it's become popularized through rappers, but that it has origins even before prison life, just families or even slaves not being able to provide good clothing for kids, would have to buy the clothes too big, so they'd be saggy, baggy, and then the kid would grow into them. The fact is that this man out of prison tries to educate young people in terms of the right thing to do. He says, why would you want to identify with certain aspects of culture? The question is, again, how far do we go with dress codes of morality, and at what point do you tell a woman, no, that's inappropriate, that outfit? I've flown enough times, and people get on the planes, And I love to witness, share the gospel with people, obviously, but there's some ladies, the way they're dressed, I'm glad they didn't sit next to me because it'd be uncomfortable. If they didn't want to talk about Jesus, then obviously there's not much more to talk about, and I got to keep my eyes looked in the exact opposite direction based on the way they're dressed. So how far do we go with this? 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, before we take your calls, I just want to backtrack for one moment. When I wrote A Queer Thing Happened to America, I did extensive study on lesbian gay theology, read books, accounts of people, their own personal struggles, began to accumulate lots and lots of books on what would be called queer theology, and different books seemed to be mainstream, well-known, so I got different ones, Queer Bible Commentary when it came out, and I was consistently shocked, pained, grieved by the sexualizing of certain accounts in Scripture, by the reinterpreting of certain accounts in Scripture. And I've been accused by people who identify as gay Christian or straight Christian, allies of gay Christian, well, my chapter was totally unfair, and I quoted people no one's ever heard of, and I gave the worst possible examples. I didn't look for those books. I just got the main books, and the more I read, the more shocked I was. So here's Patrick Chang. He's an assistant professor of historical and systematic theology at Episcopal Divinity School. Okay? Episcopal Divinity School. His book, Radical Love, highly praised by other professors. It's Introduction to Queer Theology. So this is what he wrote in his section on holiness. I got the book, so I flipped to the... I noticed he's had a section on holiness. I said, oh, let me look at it. He says, the first mark of the church is oneness. The second is holiness. Stuart describes this as where the divine meets the human, or where God's grace is manifested on earth. For Stuart, the holy occurs whenever we attempt to give back to God what God has done for us. Specifically, what God has done for us is characterized by the sheer gift of grace, which can only be repaid in our own radical generosity and hospitality to others. Thus, a community marked by holiness is one that exhibits radical generosity and hospitality to others. Kathy Rudy has written about how anonymous sexual encounters actually can be a form of hospitality and welcome to others. Yes, you heard that. What Rudy proposes is an ethic of hospitality, which is essentially the reverse of the Sodom and Gomorrah narrative. Indeed, the early Christian church was marked by its generosity of welcoming those who were outsiders. As such, this ethic of hospitality should be the overriding norm for all issues, including sexuality. As a result, certain sexual acts, including anonymous or communal sex, would not be forbidden per se, but rather measured by the degree to which the actions are welcoming or hospitable. As a result of this ethic, according to Rudy, all genders are collapsed into Christian, and all Christians go about the seamless work of God. The only distinction that ultimately matters is whether one is working toward the new creation, that is church, or not, that is the world. Thus, extrapolating from Rudy's ethic of hospitality, queer people, indeed all people, might very well find ecclesial, church holiness, in a variety of unorthodox places, including a circuit party. Circuit party, thousands and thousands of gay men will gather for an intensive weekend of drugs and sex. Queer people, indeed all people, might very well find ecclesial holiness in a variety of unorthodox places, including a circuit party, a gathering for nude erotic massage at the Body Electric School, or a sex party. This indeed would be a manifestation of church as radical love. That is radical perversion, friends. There's no other way to describe that. That is darkness. That is deception. That needs to be decried. That needs to be shouted from the rooftops. This is perversion. And every sober-minded follower of Jesus needs to agree for that and pray for a man like Patrick Cheng to really come to know the radical, life-changing love of God. I didn't cherry pick friends. I didn't go looking for this. I haven't even, I just, that's from the holiness. I read the holiness section, the three paragraphs on holiness in the book I just read to you. Yeah, it's grievous. My heart breaks for the people. I don't get mad. My heart breaks when I read lost lines like that. Okay, 866-34-TRUTH. Back to the saggy pants incident, beginning with Linda in Greensboro, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, how are you?
Doing very well, thanks.
I'm a grandmother. I'm a Christian. Even God told me. I don't know if the young man should have been arrested. We don't like the baggy pants. None of us older people do. But I don't know if he should have been arrested. And I wanted to share with you, a couple of weeks ago, we were in Orlando Airport waiting to catch a U.S. Airway plane. And in that 45 minutes to an hour range, there was a crime committed. There was a family there. We had three or four teenagers. And they stole something from, this was a white family, they stole something from a young black man getting ready to board the airplane. Well, they called security, they called the police, and it was a big old mess. Mm. But in the end, the criminal, or criminal and their family, were allowed to on this airplane with the kind of admonition that they do not sit near him, bother him, or anything else while they are on this plane with him. At first, we thought they weren't going to be able to go. But in the end, they did let him go, and the crime was committed.
So you're saying that they actually, people knew there was a crime, and they let the guy get on the plane?
Yes. Yeah. There was a family of some teenagers. One of the teenagers took something from this young, this was a white family. They took something from this young black man. He was by himself. And it was found in the bathroom in the trash can, and they knew it was done. They knew they did it. One of them did it, and they were not going to let him go. And then after a while, my husband and I, we were talking about it, and he said, I saw one of them get on the plane. So when we got off, the family got off the plane. So they were allowed to go.
That's wild. Yeah, I mean, obviously, I don't know all the details of it. I agree, though, Linda. If he was arrested, whoops. Sounds like we just lost Linda. If he was arrested, Linda, for having his pants down, that would have been one thing. As I understand the account, he was arrested for resisting the officers. He was arrested for not complying with what the airline officials told him to do and then for resisting the officers. That's how it was reported. What actually happened, don't know. But thanks for the call and the interesting report. 866-34-TRUTH. Terrell in St. Petersburg, Florida. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, how you doing?
Very well, thank you, Terrell.
Hey, you know, with the whole thing with the sagging pants, you know, I think the guy should have just been taking it for indecent exposure. Because you see a lot of kids, even when I got little children right now, and when we go out to the malls and I see these guys with their pants down, my kids are like, Daddy, were you telling them to pull the pants up? But when you do that, it causes so much confrontation because of the generation. Now, they got like a chip on the shoulder. They got this no-care attitude, you know, no love for God or anything about God. And most of the times, if you start finding these guys and hitting them where it hurts in their pockets, then they're going to be more susceptible to pulling their clothes up whenever they see a law enforcement officer around. But, you know, with them arresting him now, even though we got, you know, a high probability of black males in prison, but now this is on this guy's record, you know. Now he's going to be labeled in our society. But I think, you know, I think they should just fine him instead of arrest him because we have enough guys in prison and going through that whole problem right now.
Yeah, and again, you know, the way you respond to police authority is always the big issue. And if he, you know, they started to take him away or they're going to handcuff him and he started to fight back or something, then it's unfortunate that it goes that way, but obviously he's going to get arrested. But the bigger problem, though, Terrell, is that it's not illegal in most all of America. As far as I know, it's not illegal to dress like that. It's not actually considered indecent exposure, so that creates part of the problem. And but, you know, I'm with you in terms of the sentiment and in terms of what your kids say. You know, the question is, though, when you got ladies walking around the malls looking like they're out, you know, prostitute out to seduce somebody, what can we do about that? Or when you have Victoria's Secret stores in the malls, you know, so somehow there has to be, that's why it comes back for me. There needs to be an awakening.
They don't know where to draw the line. I mean, because
somehow
going to the mall because I'm a Christian man and I'm trying to walk in purity.
Oh, yeah.
You get the women all over the mall on TVs and magazines and everything with nothing but bikinis on. How do they expect these younger guys to react to that? Especially
Hey, Terrell, listen, I got to run. I got to break. But trust me, I'm with you on all this. Somehow, awakening in the church leading to the raising of standards in the culture. That's the only hope, man. That is the only hope. Thanks for calling, sir.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, friends, on The Line of Fire. Boy, I wish I had more time with Terrell on the phone. But, yeah, you go to the mall as a man, go to the mall, and you got, you know, places with magazines and bikini-clad pictures and sensual pictures of women everywhere. And then, especially during the summertime, man, gals, I don't know if it's the fashion show statement, but I got to watch my eyes very carefully just walking through the mall in the summertime especially. And then, you know, be walking through a big mall near us here in the Charlotte Concord area, Concord Mills Mall. I forget there's Victoria's Secret. I'm just walking, and it's, whoa, look the other way. Look the other way. Got that trash over there. And that's just go to the mall. And then in the food court, they got TV screens now, and they could have some sensual dancing and other trash like that. And so what's going to happen? What happens is the moral culture within God's people rises. It brings a rise in the moral culture in the society as a whole. Without that, it ain't going to happen. 866-34-TRUTH. However, I believe that awakening is coming. I believe that God is stirring hearts. I believe that change will come as we encounter God more deeply. And out of that deeper encounter, people are saved in the world and standards rise. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Steven in Newport Richey, Florida, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown, for taking my phone call.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to say that from my understanding of the story, that the guy who was wearing the baggy pants basically was told to pull them up multiple times and then got to his seat, allegedly pulled them up at that point. But then when he was basically asked by an officer of security to, give him his boarding pass, he was basically arguing with him. Not arguing, but going, why? I mean, I'm from the military, so my mentality is a little bit different. But when an authoritative figure, especially at an airport, asks you for something, if you just comply, you generally won't have a bad experience. But
right.
When you show resistance, you're starting to put their guard up, and then you're becoming a problem.
Yeah, just like talking on the cell phone when they tell you to shut it off, something
right.
like that.
Right, I mean, and the more you're being resistant, and this is before the plane even takes off, I don't understand why it would be at all confusing why they would take him off the plane. I mean,
yep.
Once you're up in the air, that's it.
That's it. And if they're not going to listen on the ground, how can they listen in the air? Right. So it's an authority issue, and that would seem to be the surface of it. That simple. And then it escalates. He gets more upset. It gets worse. The police come. It gets worse. Yeah. Thanks for weighing in, Stephen. I appreciate it. Adrian in St. Petersburg, Florida. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi.
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. How are you doing?
Doing very well. Thank you.
Good. I find it discriminatory more so than racial. The young boys, they whether they're black or white, have their pants down, and it's accepted in our culture. However, when the young girl shows her little breast, with her shirt buttoned down, then that's acceptable. Well, we have to find out which one do we want to agree with.
Mm-hmm.
The boys, they're not showing any skin. They're showing their shorts. But the girls are literally showing their skin, and all of a sudden, it's acceptable. Oh, it's cute. That's what's in. It's the fashion. And yet, the church isn't crying out enough for both of them, saying both of them are wrong. And I believe that's where we have gotten to, as on one side, it's accepted, and on the other side, it's really meant as a something that's really bad. And for the gentleman who's at the airport, he should have did what the officer asked him. But the reason why he was resisting, I truly believe, is that they don't call the cops there just to say, hi, you know, can you be nice? No, they were going to arrest this man because he had his shorts down. However, how many times, I mean, you just think about it, how many girls that went through that turnstile had their breasts showing and nothing was said?
Yeah, and Adrian, you know, the fact is once somebody resists on the plane and you have to be escorted out, as a rule, they're going to have police waiting for you when that happens. So whatever the cause was. But, yeah, could you picture somebody on a worship team in one of our church settings and the guy's got the pants down with the underwear showing? No. Could you picture in some of our church settings the gal's got super, super tight shirt and it's you know, it's a little low cut and she's showing some skin? Yeah, that happens all the time. It's like, okay, you're right. It's not a matter of being police. It's a matter of holiness and purity and modesty. Hey, Adrian, I got to run, but I'm so glad you reiterated this. Something we need to talk about. Thanks for the call, sir. All right. We're not talking about policing the society. We're not talking about being God's police. You said you did this, that's wrong. You're going. There are a lot of issues going on in society. There are a lot of serious issues going on all around us every day. I understand that. But this is something that gets you thinking about our general standards. What are we modeling? Let's just ask ourselves the question. Instead of pointing a finger at the world, ask ourselves, what are we modeling? What are we modeling in our personal lives? Look in the mirror. Ask, what are you modeling? Look at your family. Look at your kids. What are we modeling? What type of wholesome examples are we setting that tell people there's stuff more important than showing off your skin? There's stuff more important than some fashion statement, and we stand for those values. All right. We got this email last week. I shared it with our listeners in the first hour. I want to share it with you. From a woman in Australia. Dear Dr. Brown, just in case you're wondering about the effect of your book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, on the Australian public, please hear my story. After reading your book, I took it with me to work to show it to some of my workmates who claim to be Christians. On the same day after I finished with my last counseling session, my manager and the occupational health and safety officer called me into the office and informed me that from this moment on, I don't have a job. They claimed that I was breaking professional ethics by promoting hate literature and instigating others to adopt my religious views. The decision was final and with immediate effect. The manager asked me to hand over all company property and exhorted me out of the building. Maybe escorted, but exhorted. I felt like a common criminal. The instant dismissal was painful, not only because it was unfair, but because the company I was working for is a so-called Christian agency working with strong Christian values. Well, so much about freedom of speech and brotherly love. Kindly regards. She signs with her name. Well, we wrote to her and expressed our support any way we could help, recommend legal counsel there in Australia. She said, thank you for your kind words and for your support. Unfortunately, in Australia, the legal system does not favor the cause of little people like me who belong to a minority group such as the Jewish race. I already spoke with someone regarding my situation, but I was advised that legal action could jeopardize any future employment and mental health for me, especially if the media gets hold of the story. Australia is not a fair and forgiving nation. But look at what she said. She said this. If Dr. Brown had the courage to write this book, I must have the courage to promote it. I'll share a bit more from her response tomorrow. Friends, after years of requests, people asked me to put some of our classes online from Fire School of Ministry. We've put online Principles of Holiness, Principles of Revival, and Jewish Roots. Over 12 hours in each class, you study them over a three-month period. You get all the PowerPoint notes, video notes, all of it. Extraordinary opportunity. It's only $50 for an online class, but this week only. If you call or order a class, we'll give you another class free. You can give it to your friend. You can study the same things simultaneously. One class, pay for one, get two. This week only. Give us a call at 1-800-278-9978 to take advantage of this. 1-800-278-9978. Here's my bottom line, friends. God has called us to step higher. God has called us to be the examples. When we see things in the society that grieve us, let us take that as an exhortation to set an example that will draw them in.